Well, good morning, Redeemer. It is good to be here with you today, whether in person or online. You know, I came across this verse in the Psalms the other day, Psalm 19:1. I'd like to read it real quick. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And with this great weather we've been having, I think we're feeling that all a little bit more now than ever. So we have a few quick announcements. I encourage you to look at your bulletins for a more detailed look at some of the events that are going to be going on here in the weeks ahead. One special event that I'd like to call attention to will be on October 20th. It is a time of campfire fellowship at 7 p.m. I believe it will be over out by the Oasis. I encourage you to come, spend time with other believers, and encourage one another. As well as, on the bottom of the back side of the bulletin, find a QR code relating to giving. We encourage you to be giving to support the ministry of this church. We appreciate all support in that way. And now, let us go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. I just pray you please calm our hearts, eliminate any distractions of this week with work and school and everything else that we are involved with in our lives, Lord, that we would just come to you in true faith. We'd seek to worship you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. And we just thank you for allowing us to gather together as believers. Lord, we just pray this all in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Well, good morning. This is 2 weeks in a row I've been up here. Last week, the water was definitely warmer. Just letting you know. So this morning, Jake is going to be baptized, and I asked Jake to share just a few comments about why he wants to be baptized this morning.
Like Callie said last week, I was young, and I didn't quite understand the reasoning behind it like I do now. And I feel getting baptized again is going to make it work this time. So I need to get it done so I can feel good about things, feel good about why I'm doing it, and the reason for it to be done. Thank you.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good morning, Redeemer family. Isn't it wonderful to see somebody obeying the Great Commission and engaging in believers' baptism? Let's continue in worship as we sing "To God Be the Glory," and let's all stand.
Oh, Okay, let's make our way back to our seats, but remain standing because we're going to have a reading today from the Lord's Word. Today's reading is from Psalm 146. I think you'll find this is one of the most encouraging passages I've encountered in the Scriptures, and I hope that you are uplifted by it, as I have been. It begins and ends with the same word, hallelujah, which translated is Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
May God bless the reading of his word. Please be seated.
The greatness of
But one of the most unique things about our God, the true God, is that he condescends to be a part of our lives. And we desire him to be in our life. And so we invite him to be a part of us. And so let's sing about that this morning. There is nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
To be with you here this morning. It's great to see each and every one of you here this morning. And I do want to do a shout out to my buddies, Jeff and Randy, who are watching online. Hi, guys. Hope you're seeing this. They just texted me this morning and let me know that they were listening in this morning. So I just wanted to say hello to them. So so you know, Alex's grandfather passed away this past week, and he was particularly close to his grandfather, so that's why he's not here this morning. And a real quick emergency called David and Joan and said, "Help!" And they said, "Not a problem." So appreciate them doing that at the last minute. That was wonderful to have them do that. So I didn't exactly say help, but the sentiment was there. I mean, it definitely was. So I'm in a class right now. I've taken two classes right now. One of the classes is called Research Methods. And so I've been at the school thing for a little while, so I was kind of like, checking in, checking out. And it's neat because my phone is hooked into my computer. So I can actually text people from my computer, and it looks like I'm taking notes. I'm just telling you, it's a beautiful thing. No teachers in here. Thank you. I appreciate that. So anyway, I'm just going along in the class, and I'm kind of paying attention to what's going on in the class a little bit, you know, kind of listening to what's going on in the class and doing some texting. And then I needed to look something up online for something going on in our church bank account, so I checked that out, and pretty soon class is over. And I'm thinking back over the last 2 hours, and I'm like, I did more work than I did anything with school related. And that's really kind of true in a lot of different areas in people's lives. Because of technology, because of how connected we can be with things that are going on, it's easy for us to get something that we're supposed to be doing in one area confused or sidetracked with something in another area. It's very easy to do. And in matter of fact, there's a dynamic in our culture today where it is common for people to get focused on resting while they're at work and then working while they're at rest. Here's what I mean by that. It's pretty common. It's pretty typical. And I'm not disparaging people for doing this because just about everybody's doing it. But a lot of people, when they get to work, they're looking for opportunities to take it easy. A lot of them will get to work late because of traffic. I've heard that a million times from people. This just sounds like what a lot of people say. They're late because of traffic. And then they make their way to their office, but they stop by a bunch of other people's offices on the way to talk to them, see what's going on in their lives. And they finally get to their office, and then, oh, look, it's time for a coffee break. So they go to the coffee station and there for half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is, and just chilling. And it's like you're going through the day, leave early for lunch, come back late for lunch, meetings, go early, leave late from the meeting, and leave early because, again, we live in Dallas and there's traffic. It's a pretty interesting dynamic that a lot of people look for opportunities to take it easy and to rest when they're at work. And again, I'm not trying to disparage people. Some people are just told they have a certain amount of work to do, and if they get it done, it's fine or whatever. But it's becoming this kind of a thing. And then there's a whole bunch of other people who work when they're supposed to be resting or on vacation. Now, this is the category that I fall into. Like, on the weekends or even in the evenings, if my phone goes off, if I get a text message or whatever, I usually check it. You know, my family has a certain tone, so I know when it's them, and if it's not them, I'll still answer it. So a lot of times people are doing that, and now it's a very common thing that people will take their laptop with them on vacation. Why? Because their boss may call them, or their boss might want them to look something up or whatever on vacation. So now it's becoming customary that a lot of people will work on their vacation. They'll bring work along with them. And again, it's their vacation, they can do what they want. It's not a big deal, but it's just the idea that we're getting things kind of mixed up. What's supposed to be happening in one area isn't really happening there, something else is happening, and then what's supposed to be happening here isn't really happening, but something else is happening. A lot of people are getting into this frame of mind, this workspace, where they're resting a lot at work, and a lot of people are working a lot while they're supposed to be resting. It's just kind of the nature of the way things are. And what makes that particularly tricky as we're going to go this morning, and we're going to talk about the future rest, as we talk about this time period that the Lord has instituted, that He is going to bring for people who have an intimate relationship with Him, their future rest, a lot of us are thinking in the back of our mind, well, what is that rest really going to look like? What is it going to be? Is that rest going to be a time where people are sleeping? Is that rest going to be a time where people are actually finally going to be able to get something done? What is the future rest? And what the passage that we're looking at, we're going to be in Genesis this morning. And the passage that we're going to look at is going to explain the seventh day of creation. Now, there's 6 days of creation before this. And the 6 days, each of the days, the Lord works and He creates something. But on the seventh day, He rested. And what we're going to see this morning is that this is a foreshadowing of another reality. This is a foreshadowing of something that the Lord wants all of humanity to understand. Although this happened, the 6 days happened and the seventh day happened, it was done because it was to foreshadow something else. So what I'm going to do with you this morning is I want to kind of walk you through day 7, what happens, and I'm going to try to point to you the reality that that's foreshadowing. And then I'm going to do something that's going to be a little bit tricky, but what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to then help you understand how do we apply that principle to our lives. And here's what's tricky about that is we're dealing with foreshadowing, and then once we understand the foreshadowing, then we have to understand how does it apply to us today. So it's not an easy thing to do, but I'm ready for the challenge. I think you'll enjoy it. So what we're going to look at is on day 7 in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And this is a new series that we're doing in the book of Genesis. And this series that we're doing here is going to take us from the idyllic setting of Eden, the perfect garden. It's going to take us through the fall of humanity. And then it's going to take us into the time period where the Lord promises that He will send a resolution to the problem of sin. This series is going to be a very important series. It's going to be a lot of fun as we walk through Genesis chapter 2 and verses 3. But this morning we are going to be in Genesis chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. And we're going to see that Genesis, this passage explains that the day of rest foreshadows the future rest. And we're going to learn that the future rest will be after the work is completed. It will be after the work is finished. And it will be blessed. So what is the future rest? Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 2. The future rest, first of all, will be after the work is completed. After the work is completed. Verse 1 says this, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed." So, this is after days 1 through 6, so this is the seventh day. "So the creation of the heavens and the earth." Now, we understand this to be saying, although it's not popular today, we understand that what this text is saying, what the Bible is saying is here, is that God created from nothing something. And this time period, the seventh day, is the day after he created the heavens. And I always like to think of the heavens, when you're looking out, everything up is the heavens. Everything not below you, everything up is the heavens. The sky, the universe, the planets, the stars, all that is the heavens. That's all the referent here. God created all of that, and he created the earth. Think of the big rock that we're standing on. All of the elements below. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them. So all the plants, all the people, all the elements, all of the things that were living, all the marine animals and all the birds, all of those, the creation was completed. This was after all of that had been done. It had been completed. It had been, had happened. And so now day seven starts. And day seven starts when everything has already been done. It's been completed. It's been ended. It's been accomplished. And what this is doing is this verse is talking about a future reality. It's talking about this fact that this future rest will happen after all of the Lord's work is completed. After everything that the Lord intends to do, after it's done, that's when the rest will start. The rest will not start before that, and it will continue long after that. We often have trouble comprehending something being completed. It's difficult oftentimes to wrap our mind around this. But here in day six, and as it goes into day seven, God is saying that his work is completed, it's finished, it's done. And we often, when we think about projects, when we think about things that need to be done, it's hard for us to think of a project being completed. Like the end game is always just not really there. This past year, we transferred our internet service here at the church from AT&T to Spectrum. And we're saving ourselves a bunch of money doing it, so it was. And so I did all the research. I was like researching what AT&T offers, what Spectrum offers. And I called AT&T and said, "Hey, do you want to match our price?" Did all this stuff. And we finally made the decision, this is the best interest. We're doing it. We're making the switch. So I was done. Or so I thought. Because the project was done. But it wasn't done. It was just getting begun. Because now Spectrum is calling. They're like, "Oh, we need to come out and we need to hook up." "Okay, no problem. You can just come in and hook up the wires." "Oh, no, we don't have any wires going to your building. We got to put a little ditch witch and we got to run a line up to your building and all this stuff." And so the project was like this. So finally they're done. They put all the connection together and like, "Okay, we're done. We're done. The project's completed." Then AT&T calls and they're like, "Hey, we want our old stuff back." I'm like, "Oh, why will this project not ever end?" Finally put all the junk in a box and we send it off to them. We're like, "We're done." And then I'm like, "Well, I know how much they said they were going to charge me, so now I got to go back and check and make sure that they charged me that." And sure enough, they did. So I went back through all the financials to make sure everything was right. But that's kind of how projects work for us as humans. We think that these little sections were done, it's completed, but then it keeps going. And we can get that perception of God. That at the end of time, that when the Lord is done, he's not really done because something else is going to come up. And one of the values of presenting this foreshadowing is saying on day six, whenever that is in the future, when the Lord is done with everything that he's doing, he's done. Spectrum is not going to call back and say, now we've got to dig a ditch. None of that stuff. When he's done, it's done. What I want you to do in your mind is I just want you to think. This is the hard part. This is where we have to jump over a little bit. But I want you to, in your mind, I want you to envision that God has a to-do list. It's a big one, because he's been around for a long time. So it's a big one, and the writing's really small, because there's a lot of people, and he's got to do a lot of things. But I want you to, in your mind, I want you to envision a to-do list. And if you had the opportunity to do this, and you looked at this to-do list, you'd look, and there would be some items on the to-do list that are crossed off. And there would be some items on the to-do list that are not yet crossed off. And those are the things that the Lord still needs to do. But here's what I want you to grasp. When the last item is crossed off the list, it'll be completed. There will come a time when the Lord's work on this earth is done. Keep that in mind as we look future. What is the future rest? First of all, we see the future rest will be after the work is completed. And then Genesis chapter 2 is going to teach us that future rest will be after the work is finished. Look with me at verse 2. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. On the seventh day, the 6 days have passed, and now we're on the seventh day. God had finished his work of creation. At this moment, there was nothing more for him to do. He didn't want to hey, there was this new animal I was thinking about creating. He didn't. No, he had already done everything that he needed to do, and he was done. He was finished. And so he rested from all his work. Based upon how you understand that, it wasn't like God took a nap. It wasn't that he was like, oh man, I'm so tired, I'm going to sit in my easy chair. What it means is he stopped working. He's done. He's finished. And the important part about this is to remember that the idea here is that God is trying to let people know that just because everything is going along every day and it seems like nothing is ever changing, that's not reality. There will come a day when it is finished. The seventh day is coming, and it will be a day of rest. There will be no more work that he'll be doing. Many people have recently, if you're working, many people have gotten a hold of this idea that it's really nice to work from home. Not one of those people. Some jobs just don't work for that. But a lot of people have started working from home. And it is kind of a neat thing, because if you get to work from home, your commute is like 0 minutes and 0 seconds. I mean, you're at work right away. So your commute is way better. You don't have to worry about whether your work is stocking all of the pop or soda or whatever you want in the fridge. You just go to your own fridge and you get whatever you want to drink or whatever you want to eat. So there's a lot of advantages to working from home. But there is one disadvantage. Well, there's probably many, but the one big one, the one bad part about working from home is you never stop working. You get up in the morning and you go to, get out of bed and you're like, oh, there's my office. It's right there. You're later in the afternoon, your boss calls and says, hey, would you go on your computer and look this up? And they're like, well, no, I can't because I can't get to my office right now. Well, yeah, you can. It's right there. I mean, it's hard when you're working from home. Work's never done. You're working 24/7. It's one of the disadvantages of it. And so we live in a world where this work is kind of a continual 24/7 thing. It's always happening. And so it's hard for us to conceptualize that at some point, God is done. There's nothing more for him to do. And it's easy for us to begin to think, well, because our reality is that things are never, ever finished, that work is always happening, that God's always going to have something to do. And part of that has to do with the fact that we think our decisions are on God's to-do list. Part of that perception is we think that our decisions are on His to-do list. Imagine that big to-do list again. If you were to look at that to-do list, you would never find on that list, make Pastor Forrest make good decisions. It's not on there. If you were to look on that list, you're never going to see a thing that says, make so-and-so become a believer. Because the way that He has designed it, the way He has set it up, you and I have a choice. And a lot of times it's easy for us to think that God will wait until I get my stuff figured out. Our choices are not on His to-do list. He loves us. He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to choose to do the things that we know we should do. He wants that, but that's not on His to-do list. He's not waiting for you to finally be holy before He's done. He's already communicated to you that He loves you. He's already communicated to you that He knows what's best for you and that what you're doing is not good for you. He's already done all that. He's not waiting for you to make that decision. He hopes you will, but it's not on His to-do list. At some point, He will finish everything that He wants to do, and then it'll be done. The work will be over. So what is the future rest? The future rest is after the Lord's work is complete. The future rest is after the Lord's work is finished. And last, the future rest will be blessed. Look with me at verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day, and He declared it holy, because it was the day when He rested from all His work of creation. And God blessed. The idea of blessing is to pour out or to impart or to give to something or someone an advantage, an abundancy that it didn't have before. So the idea here is the Lord blessed the seventh day. Worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, He said, this day is blessed. He poured into it blessing. And He declared it holy. He declared it to be set apart. Most likely, what is it set apart from is the other 6 days. He did work on those days, and the seventh day is holy. He said, this day is holy because it was the day when He rested from all His work of creation. It's hard to see it now because we didn't go over the first 6 days, but there's something that is not included in day 7 that is included in days 1 through 6. At the end of each of the sections of days 1 through 6, it says, and it was morning, and it was evening, the first day, or the second day, or whatever day it was. In my translation, it says, and evening passed, and morning came, signifying a 24-hour time period. But on the seventh day, it's missing. And the reason behind that is because the seventh day is not supposed to end. It's a foreshadowing of rest. When the Lord is done with everything He's doing, when He's completed His work, when He's finished His work, and He starts the day of rest, it doesn't end. It's an eternal resting time. It's never designed to end. And it's hard for us at times to be able to really comprehend the difference between working being hard and rest being fun and eternal, rest being easy and eternal, rest being blessed and eternal. Because we live in a culture where rest and work are so mixed up. And a lot of people are in the place where they think this time period right now, this work time period, is the time period when is really rest. The tech companies have for years been struggling with bringing in good talent, and then the good talent goes to another company. And so they decided to start giving away these extravagant perks to their employees. So you can go, if you work for some of these companies, you can go. You never have to go make any food for yourself. You can go into the cafeteria, you can get breakfast, you can get lunch, you can get dinner, it's on the house. It doesn't cost anything. You want a snack, you can go in there. Some of these companies are just, it's all inclusive. You can eat whatever you want. You feeling a little yawny in the middle of the afternoon? No problem. Go up to the nap room. There's a nap room in some of these places where you can go take a nap. Some of them have gyms. You can go do a workout while you're at work. They'll pay you to do a workout. It's just incredible. They're bringing all these perks in because they're trying to keep these employees. I even read Google's got a massage place where if a person's having a stressful day, they can go get a massage. And it's just crazy, and it's hard to comprehend because like work is like more like rest, and rest is more like work. And we live in a culture where that's going on, and so it's easy for us to kind of get things switched around in our head. But there will come a time where it will truly be blessed for those people who are a part of it. It will be unlike anything that we understand today. Yes, there are moments where things are fun down here. Yes, there are moments that are enjoyable. But the rest that God is talking about here will be unlike anything that a person here this side of that time period has ever experienced. It will be truly blessed. There will be a blessed future rest. And the thing that I want to challenge each of you with is to begin to think about yourself and to look at yourself and say, am I going to be a part of that? And what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to become so enamored with the perks of today that you're putting off making a decision about that future rest. To be so enamored with the things that you're doing in your life now that you're not even worried about or thinking about the day when that future rest comes. Because the reality is when that day comes, when the Lord decides to go from day 6 to day 7, it's done. Whatever decision you made on day 6 is the reality that you'll enjoy for day 7 forever. And the Lord has made it clear that those who will go past day 6 and spend an eternity in that blessed rest are those whose sins have been forgiven because of what Christ did for them on the cross. That's how a person moves from day 6 to 7 into that blessed rest. And once that day comes and the Lord is finished and he's completed everything he's going to do, a person who passes that point can't go back and say, hey, I wish I had made a different decision back then. I wish I had chosen a different route. I wish I had taken the time to believe. It doesn't work that way. When the Lord says it's time, there'll be no going back. And if you have lived up to that point and you have chosen to ignore, to get distracted by the fun things of this life, and you haven't allowed yourself to come into a place where you realize that what you've done, your sin has caused you to be separated from God forever, and you've not done anything about that, there'll be no turning back. So what is that future rest? And we've talked a little bit about that. Future rest will be after the work is completed, after the work is finished, and it will be a blessed time. And you and I are living in a culture where it's hard to get rest and work figured out. New thing, my wife is getting to enjoy this now. So a lot of companies are going to the 4-day work week. I hope your company offers that to you. It's kind of a cool thing, it really is. She is very fortunate. They're not only giving her 4 days of work week, but she doesn't have to work any extra hours, which is fine by me. But it is interesting, it's creating a different dynamic. Used to be that back in the day, long before even my time, people worked 6 days a week and they needed the seventh day to rest. Well, now these people, they're working 4 days a week and they get 3 days off. Unless You got a holiday on Monday. Then you get 4 days off. Our culture is changing. Our culture is changing where they're trying to say, hey, let's embrace the rest while we're working. Which is fine. It's good. Maybe it's beneficial for people. But the reality is it distorts for us our perception about what is coming. And so it's critical. It's absolutely critical that we understand what our decision is about how we will spend that time of rest. Will we spend that in the presence of God, or will we spend that forever separated from Him? Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your house. We thank you for the opportunity to be reminded about some things that it's important for us to remember. It's easy for us to get lulled into the pattern of giving that you are not ever going to be done. There's no end to time. The things are just going to go on like they always have. It's easy for us to fall into that pattern of thinking. I pray, Lord, that as we look at this passage here in Genesis, that you would convict us with the reality that there will come a day when your work is completed. There will come a day when your work is finished. And on that day, it will be a day where all of the decisions we've made up to that point will bear fruit into what eternity we will have. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the confidence and the courage to consider where we're at in that, to be mindful of that. We love you, and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. At this point in the service, we usually take an opportunity to do the Lord's Supper. And for those of you who may not be familiar with this, this is something that Jesus himself instructed believers for all the time, for the next 6 days, if you will, instructed them to do this on a regular basis. And it's a time to remember. And each of us, each person in the world that's ever been created has inherited a sinful nature which causes them to do sinful things. Usually doesn't take very long for babies to figure it out. And then adults are doing it full scale. But for those who have come to the place where they recognize that sin, all of those sins, and even just one of them, has separated them from the God who loves them. And they're like, I don't want that. I want to be in an intimate relationship with God. And so what Jesus did is he came down from heaven to earth and became a man. He allowed humanity to crucify him on a cross. And in so doing, living a perfect life, he became the sacrifice for sin for anyone who would believe. He made it awful simple for us. All we have to do is believe. The easiest, hardest decision most people ever have to make. For those who have made that decision, this is a time of remembrance. This is a time of thinking back to what Jesus did for us. And with a fondness in our heart, we reflect on that moment. So that's what the Lord's Supper is about. If you didn't pick up one of these disposable cups on your way in, if you just raise your hand, we've got some guys in the back who'll be happy to bring those to you. If you take off the top layer, there's a white wafer inside. And Paul wrote about interaction when Jesus said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.
Let's all stand as we close the service with "To God Be the Glory," first verse.
Make sure you stop and say something to Jake. Just give him a pat on the back and shake his hand. He'd certainly appreciate hearing from you. And if you are here this morning and you need someone to talk to you or to pray with you, I just want you to know that there are people on hand that are waiting, anxiously waiting every week, just wondering if somebody will, just waiting for someone to come forward to need to be prayed with or talked to. We have people that would love to talk to you if you need someone to talk to. In the meantime, now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.